Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And so you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march or demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And in the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you're having is When God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box going to get sent back to sender. And now you're going to have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad, Cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
All right, time for another installment of It's My House. Now, today's topic, the primary topic to start the show, okay, is cash flow offense. Cash flow offense, and we're basing it on the board game called Cash Flow. Some of you played it, some maybe haven't played it. It's sort of like Monopoly on steroids. But cash flow offense, small deals versus big deals, and how you can apply it to your life if you need it, starting today. And we got to hit the trending topic, which will probably dominate the show. But that's all right. On the Kyle Rittenhouse case. So we're going to find out the latest update on the Kyle Rittenhouse case. I don't know if they had closing arguments Friday or they have closing arguments today, this morning, up in Kenosha, Wisconsin. So Kyle Rittenhouse, but we're going to get into cash flow offense, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Oh, you know I had to stop the music. We are now also, thanks to our executive producer, Robin, we're, I guess, simulcasting, I guess you call it that, But we're also live on, not only are we on Facebook, what do you call this, Blog Talk, but we're also on, I've been on the app all weekend, including this morning. Oh, Clubhouse. So for the people that are on Clubhouse, that are listening to It's My House, and this is our first time on Clubhouse with It's My House, we're on there, live streaming right now, and we have set up an accountability group, which meets twice a day, Monday through Friday. Now, this is the first day of us starting the accountability. Well, we started over the weekend, but now I've got a rule to it, and we're supposed to be meeting twice a day. So I just wrote it up this morning that we're going to be meeting twice a day. So today we'll be meeting at 6 p.m., our accountability group. And then tomorrow, we have to decide the time today, because we'll have a morning session and an evening session. You don't have to make both of them. Well, actually, you don't have to make any of them. But ideally, if you make the morning one, because we want to find out whatever your daily goal or goals are, okay, and then we can provide you some accountability. I need it, too. That's why I started, because I need accountability. So more on that, but all of that, the accountability group, that's basically exclusively on Clubhouse. So in any event, we'll be back in a few minutes with Cash Flow Offense, Small Deals versus Big Deals, based on the board game Cash Flow by Robert Kiyosaki. Then we're going to get into the trending topic, one of the primary trending topics going around, the Kyle Rittenhouse case up in Wisconsin.
Now,
All right. Today, now we're going to get into the Cal Rittenhouse case up in Wisconsin here soon. But let's get this out the way. Once again, if you're listening to us on Clubhouse, thank you for listening. We're here Monday through Friday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right. And we also have an accountability group. If you're interested in mobile homes or earning some type of income, consistent income, dealing with housing and or real estate or land, then we have an accountability group that meets on Clubhouse at 6:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. All right. And we also have morning sessions. We haven't decided when we're going to have these morning sessions. But if you're listening to me right now, we have a session on Clubhouse at 6 p.m. today. So that's people that's listening to us on Clubhouse. All right. Now, before we get into the Kyle Rittenhouse case, today's title is Cash Flow Offense, Small Deals versus Big Deals. This is what I'm about to share with you is based on the board game Cash Flow. Cash Flow was put together by a guy named Robert Kiyosaki. He's written a series of books called the Rich Dad series, which is probably the most popular book out of that series is Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Okay, he's even written a book in that Rich Dad series with Donald Trump. But Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which was the second book that he published. The first one is If You Want to Be Rich and Happy, Don't Go to School with a question mark on it. He self-published that one. But the first one in the Rich Dad series is Rich Dad, Poor Dad. So the board game, which is like Monopoly on steroids, he came up with that, him and his one of his partners. Now, in the game Cash Flow, there are two circles. There's an inner circle and then there's an outer circle. The inner circle is the rat race. That's people with 9-to-5 jobs, doctors, lawyers, janitors, anybody who's in rush hour with a 9-to-5, that's the rat race. And everybody starts that game in the rat race. The objective of the game is to earn enough money by starting side businesses and investments where you can earn enough passive income to get out of the rat race and then graduate to the fast track where you're making a lot more money. You can retire if you want to and that type of thing. So that's in order to do that, in the cash flow game, in the rat race, you have two primary, well, there are four cards, but the two cards that I'm talking about, and if you're on Blog Talk Radio, you can see the scrolling marquee of these two cards. One set of cards is marked small deals. One set of cards are marked big deals. And the object of a cash flow game is that you make your financial mistakes during the board game where you're not financially hurt in real life. You can learn from it and then apply those lessons to your real life personal finance. All right. So talking about financial offense, because during this pandemic, and we're coming out of it, people. Okay. So you got people that will be facing foreclosures. You got people facing evictions, you know, car repossessions. I mean, I knew two people. I was renting to them, and, man, their car got repossessed three times that I know about. Okay. So, one of them happened earlier this year. In any event, people are having stress with financial problems or whatever. A lot of people get into a financial defensive mode. They might go to a friend or a relative for advice or help. They might go to a lawyer, legal aid, see if the government can help them. And those are what I call quasi-defensive moves. But what I'm talking about today is financial offense or cash flow offense. What can you do without borrowing any money, without going to the government, without going to legal aid, so forth and so on? This is one of the reasons why we have, because I upgraded our group on, Clubhouse. It's an accountability group. I've even got to be held accountable in the group. And I started the group. So based on the cash flow game, now, in the cash flow game, there are two primary type of deals to get you out of the rat race. All right, just two. I've added on three more, but let's start with the game, the cash flow game. You can do big deals. These are side businesses or investments that you need at least $6,000 or more to get into. Okay, big deals, and I think this mirrors life. Big deals is a bare minimum of $6,000, typically more, to get in what they call big deals. Most people can't afford to get into big deals. Okay, even if you got it, it's best to stay away from the big deals while you're starting out or when you're trying to solve a financial problem. The next type of card dealing with cash flow in the cash flow game are small deals. Okay, most people get out of the rat race by doing a series or several small deals. Small deals require $5,000 cash at the top limit, so it's $5,000 cash or below. Those are small deals. You might be able to open up a hair salon, a barber shop, a lawn care service. You know, there's a lot of businesses that you can start for under $5,000 or for no more than $5,000. Okay. Now, those are the two type of deals that are in the cash flow game. Now, I've added three more on there, and we had to get together for a game night so people can see this in person. And we'll be going through this in our accountability group, all right? The three type of deals that I added on are tiny deals, micro deals, and Walmart deals. Tiny deals cost you probably no more than $4,000. Okay, they're $4,000 or less. All right. So I'm about to play an audio right now of an example of somebody who did a tiny deal.
Also tonight, the incredible transformation and the Buffalo Strong spirit that made it all happen. 7 Eyewitness News reporter Taylor Epps shows us how a young lady has completed her very own renovation project.
11-year-old Lauren Nelson had big plans for her summer.
I thought it was going to be pretty fun, but with COVID going on, it was going to be not as fun as it could be.
But things changed one day when she was flipping through an American Girl doll magazine at her home in Attica.
And she showed us a $650 VW bus. My husband was like, that's ridiculous. You could buy your own camper for that price.
So she did just that. Lauren saved some money and started looking. A neighbor just down the road had this 20-foot camper that caught her eye.
And then the one day, up popped a for sale sign, and she squealed the whole way home.
And she started negotiating.
It wasn't very hard. He said $500, and I said $400 because that was the money that I had in my bank account, and he said sold.
Then it was time to renovate.
It was a process. We brought home a family of mice. And so there was a lot of deep cleaning, but that didn't stop her.
I was very motivated because I really wanted a place where I could just, like, hang out, like, my own house.
The whole renovation process took Lauren about 2 months, and with the help of family and friends, she was able to turn this into this.
It's called Camp Huge. It means very comfortable and safe. It has its own kitchen and bathroom, so it's like a tiny house.
So now you're the owner of a tiny home at 11 years old.
Yes.
The whole project cost her $800.
She has 3 envelopes that she puts her money in, give, save, and spend. I think she made a really good choice. She now says she's part of the Tiny Home Nation.
She was able to turn her summer around and hopes to inspire others to do the same.
Which is awesome to see that somebody who's 11 years old had her own vision but now is out there and other people are contacting us and they've gone out and bought a camper to do the same thing.
If you're looking to have some big plans in the future, you should go out and do it. Make it happen.
In Attica, Taylor Epps, 7 Eyewitness News.
Okay. Now, let me go through these other distinctions of deals. Now, tiny deals, I got them at $4,000 and below. Obviously, Laura Nelson, when she was 11, she's just 12 years old now, she went out and bought a camper for $400. It's got a kitchen and a bathroom in it. Very important. Now, you might say, well, she's only 12 years old. People, what I've found out in the last month myself is there's a whole bunch of adults, baby boomer ages, that are buying places for $4,000 or less. One lady I talked to, and I talk to her on a semi-regular, she bought her camper, which is a travel trailer, for $500. And she's got grandchildren. Tiny house movement, which is global. Most of those people who have built their tiny houses, I'm talking about the ones, because most people who get have a tiny house built them. You got some that have bought theirs. And typically, there are people that don't build theirs. They're buying theirs at a retail price, at ridiculous prices, in my opinion. But there's a lot that have built them. Because they don't want that 30-year mortgage. Matter of fact, I heard something on Clubhouse this morning. They were talking about paying off mortgages. 9 out of 10 people who have a 30-year mortgage never pay those mortgages off. I'm going to see if I can get the guy that was moderating that piece on Clubhouse. See if I'm going to get on this show because he really broke it down. But I believe it. And you know what? Most people probably don't even live long enough. Well, I mean, he gave us the statistics, not me. 9 out of 10 people who get a 30-year mortgage do not pay those mortgages off. Most tiny houses build theirs, and when they build it debt-free. So Laura Nelson might be 12 years old right now, but there's, once again, and I've met them. I have met some of these people since within the last month that they're looking for $500 places to stay. Now, so tiny deals, I have them at $4,000 and below. This, which now in Laura's case is below. There's micro deals that are $3,000 and below. And then there's Walmart deals, $2,999 and below. The grandmother that I met maybe last week, or no, less than 2 weeks ago, right here where I'm at, she bought her camper for $500. Has kitchen, full bathroom, bedroom, living at Got everything she needs. $500. The accountability group that I've set up, because what I did Saturday, because I'm looking at, okay, in order to get to where I need to get, I need to get some of these deals. Now, I call them Walmart deals, and that's $2,999 more. I might adjust this to maybe two more categories because Laura Nelson, she did hers for under $1,000. The grant, I don't know, I haven't met Laura Nelson in person or talked to her or folks, but the one I do know that was face-to-face in my backyard with me, I do know her, and she sends me, since I've known her, about three or four places that they're typically mobile homes and or campers that I can buy for under, you know, the most expensive one she sent me was $1,500. I'm calling these Walmart deals. Now, in my own personal life, I've got 10 acres out in Texas. I paid $2,000 for that. That's $200 an acre. That's what I would call a Walmart deal. Over this past weekend, because Saturday, I submitted 20 offers to purchase mostly mobile homes. And between Saturday and Sunday, I made offers on about four, maybe five at the most, land transactions. The land transaction, I needed $950 to get into that one. I would call that a Walmart deal. So by the end of this week, I'm going to just readjust this and probably add one or two more tiers because there's a lot that you can get out there for $1,000 or less. Okay, so the 10 acres I got, I would call that a Walmart deal. And that's I paid $2,000. Actually, that was $2,000, which included recording fees and all that. I bought it for like $180 an acre. But when you round it up with the recording fees and all this, I just rounded up to $2,000, so I just said $200 an acre. But that Walmart crowd is what I call in the United States. There's a book that we've covered over here before called Fortune at the Bottom of the Pyramid by C.K. Prahlad. But to the United States of America, there's a fortune at the bottom of the pyramid, and it's a huge pyramid. These people are going shopping for Christmas presents at the dollar store right now. They're going to Dollar Tree. They're going to Dollar General. And they're shopping for Christmas presents there. They're doing shopping for the family's groceries at Dollar General or someplace like that, or Walmart. These people are like the Laura Nelsons. These people are like the grandmother that was in my backyard less than 2 weeks ago because we were trying to figure out a way where we can get her camper in my backyard. Logistically, I don't think we can pull it off. I got an ad running right now for a bigger piece of property. So if not her, somebody else. But this is what I call the fortune at the bottom of the, and it's not the bottom of the barrel. It's a wide foundation where you have the most people, and they're frugal because they have to be, and their household incomes are probably no more than $20,000 a month. All right. So in our accountability sessions on Clubhouse, and we have one at 6 p.m. today, Eastern Standard Time, we basically look at, okay, we're going to look at tiny deals. Well, we're going to look at the many ways that people come up with their side hustle to do what they need to do to play financial offense. It's going to be different from everybody in the group. And right now we only have four people. All right. Now, for me, okay, because I'm stepping up. Now, this is where I'm throwing my accountability is I'm graduating from 20 offers per day to I'm upping it to 100 offers per day. That's to purchase mobile homes and or campers and travel trailers, that is, and or used ones, not new, and or land. And the reason why I'm put my goal that I want accountability on is I'm going from 20, like I said, I did 40 over the weekend total. I'm stepping it up to 100 starting today. And I had to do it by 6 p.m. today. I got an accountability. That's why I got the accountability group. Is because I'm looking at, and I did a podcast on this last week, the law of averages. I'm looking at, and here's my thinking on this. All right. Where my budget is, I'm in category 5. My budget is Walmart deals. That's where I'm at. The land I've purchased, or lands that I've purchased in three different states, they've all been Walmart deals. As far as cash coming out of my pocket, they've all been Walmart deals. The most I've come out of pocket is $2,000 for my Walmart deals. Prior to that, some years ago when I was doing auctions on eBay, buying houses from banks and then auctioning them off on eBay, I was essentially, you know, if a bank had a house for sale for $1,000 to $2,000, I would pay no more than $2,000 on that. Some houses I picked up for as low as $500 from banks. They call them REOs. That means real estate owners. Those are foreclosures from banks. I would call the bank and find out, give me your lowest price REOs. They would, back then, fax it to me or email it to me. And then, when it's that low, I don't haggle. If you want $1,000 for a house, a townhouse or whatever, I'm not haggling. Here's a $100 earnest money deposit. We'll close in 30 days, and they get the title work going. With mobile homes, and I don't have to do that. Trailers and all that, I don't have to do that. All right, so no title company or nothing like that. Let's complicate it. Let's people into the transaction. But in any event, Walmart deals, that's where I'm at. And the people that I'll be selling to is the Walmart crowd. The most I'll get something and resell will probably be $5,000. Now, I'm not trying to make, because you got a lot of these real estate gurus out here. You got a gazillion of them now. And I was listening to one yesterday. You know, he doesn't go into any transaction that he can't make $150,000. That's fine. One of the mentors, matter of fact, the mentor that got me into my first 4 acres, they have a family business where the family's done like over 10,000 transactions. And they do, small little transactions, what I call Walmart deals. And they were averaging, when I met them, 15 to 20 a month. So if you're doing 15 to 20 transactions a month, Walmart style, and let's say, you net $1,000 profit per each, I mean, per transaction, you know, that's $15,000 to $20,000 per month. Just saying. Now, they've got some, they do some transactions, you know, where they would be classified as big deals. Okay, but their bread and butter are what I call Walmart deals. You need less than $3,000 to get into them. All right, as far as housing, like I said, there's a whole bunch of people that, you know, they're looking to get into something for $1,000. But if they can own it, and that's why I like the mobile home market, because you can buy, you know, a used mobile home. It might need some cleanup. It might be a handyman special, but there's a lot of them out there. So the market that I'm servicing is the Walmart crowd. There's so many of them out there. So I might add on another category or two on here, Walmart deals, as well as McDonald's deals, as well as dollar store deals. That, you know, because they like I said, the lady that I spoke to, the lady that sends me three or four transactions per week, that most expensive one has been $1,500. All of them had kitchens. All of them had full bathrooms, bedroom, and living area. And then on top of that, I'm sort of kicking myself. Now I'm in Florida. In Florida, all right, Florida's got 67 counties. And just in the town that I'm in, there are 181 mobile home parks. I'm not talking about the whole county. I'm just talking about the town I'm in within the county. 181. Matter of fact, right around the corner, about a 2-mile walk or ride from where I'm at right now, there's a little one. The Walmart crowd. That's where it's at. So anyway, we'll just on that. But anyway, so if you get a chance, play the board game Cash Flow, where they, you know, they introduce you to the big deals. Once that's $6,000 or more, that's how much cash you need to take advantage of those. Small deals or $5,000 or below, but those are the only two things in the Cash Flow game. I've broken it down to tiny deals, $4,000 and below, micro deals, $3,000 and below, or Walmart deals, $2,999 and below. I'll probably add on dollar store deals, because something like Laura Nelson got into, that was $1,000. But Laura was not an outlier. Like I said, there's a whole bunch of people out here that are, now they might live in a mobile home park and they have to pay lot rent, but the house that they live in, they own it legally 100%. mobile homes are classified as personal property and not real estate. Before I go to the phone lines and we switch off the Crowell Rittenhouse, that case, I'm going to play one more audio. I played on here before. Lamar Alexander, he built, and I want you to pay attention, he built a cabin by himself, no mortgage, and I will put him in a Walmart deal too, a Walmart crowd too. He built it for $2,000. Now, he added a solar electric system on it, and that brought him to about $5,000. So even with him, it's a small deal. I mean, he can power his laptop, flat screen, coffee. He's got 12-volt systems in his place. All that, he gets no electric bill, no water bill, and $5,000 in. Now, he was the primary labor force. But, hey, man, what's 2 weeks? 2 weeks of labor, and you're getting exercise, versus a 30-year mortgage. Something that this guy, that's why I got to bring this guy on that I heard this morning on Clubhouse. He said, in the course of that 30-year mortgage, you might have bought yourself a house, but you've bought the bank two, three, maybe even four houses for the bank. Bill Jones stuff.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second, and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land, okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions, and that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills, and then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat. It takes a lot less money to cool. It's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now, I want to repeat. I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively. And you can do this at an age, at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
Okay, we're back in business. I don't know what happened to the sound or whatever, but okay. In any event, sorry about that tech stuff. I couldn't control that, but that happens from time to time. Looking to get back into my studio. once we do that, we can continue. And that's where it seems to be the delay is at the studio. Okay. Let me see if I can bring it up another way. All right, Blog Talk. And let's see. Something freaked out on my internet connection. Well, internet connection seems to be normal. Let's see. I'm trying another way to on another device to get into the studio. There's these little gremlins that happen occasionally online. Yeah, this is kind of weird here, but it went totally out in, on my laptop, which is the normal way I come to you guys. I use that in a landline, but it's slow to load up on or refresh on my laptop. And on the phone, okay, I can see you guys all. So let's try this. All right, I see me called in. Okay, let me do this real quick. Let's see if this works.
Hello.
All right, Robin, you there?
Hi.
Okay. I had to call in on my phone.
Okay.
All right. All right, let's see. I'm going to see if I can refresh this on my laptop again. While we're doing that, Robin, thank you for putting it on Clubhouse.
Yes.
Do you hear that echo?
I do not.
Okay. Oh, it was on my phone. All right. Have you been following the Cal Rittenhouse case?
Just a little. What's going on with that?
Well, you know what? I don't know because I have not been on Clubhouse for half the morning. Oh, but before
is
we
that,
go to our call
is
right,
that,
and talk
is,
about...
Uh-huh.
Go ahead. Well, is that the what?
Is he the one... Are they the ones that shot, I don't know, somebody?
He shot two people, shot and killed two people, blew the bicep off of another one up in Kenosha, Wisconsin. So
yeah.
Some people call him a hero.
And they sent, so the last thing I heard, I think, is that they sent in the National Guard.
Oh, yeah, because I think
for when they
is supposed to come back today.
Yeah, okay.
So that's what we're going to... Now, before we open up the other phone line and go to that, I've turned the 6 o'clock group into an accountability group.
I heard.
I got that idea because... Early this morning, I ran into an accountability group. They had about 10 people in it, and they meet Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Man, something with my laptop. I'm not getting through on my laptop today for some reason. Maybe I need to reboot.
Did you? Yes. Always power it off and then power it back on.
Right. I'm gonna power it off right now. So that's where I got the idea. I said, all right, well, for me, I need twice a day. So since I'm up early in the morning, you know, I start the day off that way, and then for round two, did whatever I said I was going to do at 6 a.m., You know what? I'm gonna make it a 6 a.m. group. Only thing is, how many times will we let you go on Clubhouse, though, a day? You know that
all yet? Day long.
So you can have more than one show.
Yeah.
Or one conversation. Okay, well,
yeah.
I think that's what I'll do. I'll do 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And that,
you know, I mean, I have, I closed one session and I opened another one. So I've had, since I figured it out, I've had Vibes Live Hard Rap planned. Then I had Gospel Music Explosion. Then I had Vibes Live Jazz and Blues going. Then I had Jesus in the Morning, and now I have It's My House. And I'm fitting to run the morning show that we just had on the Hilltop.
Okay. And I just got some feedback from somebody on, what do you call it?
Clubhouse.
Yeah. I invited him on to speak. And there's another dude that I'm looking to get on here. This guy went from janitor.
Are you in Clubhouse right now? Because you should come over there to the room and then invite people to the room. It's my house.
All right, wait a minute. Well, hold. Oh, you know what?
And when you do, you'll probably want to mute it out so that you don't hear a feedback.
All right, that might be too much for me to process this morning. I'll get it, though.
Yeah, never. We'll go through a practice
we'll get it by Friday. Yeah,
but if you're
we'll
on It's My House, and, I mean, if you're on Clubhouse, there is a room, It's My House TV, and you can click on that, join the room, and you can tune in and hear It's My House on Clubhouse. And we also have the live switchboard connected to the show. So if you want to talk on It's My House with the host on Clubhouse, you can do that as well. All right?
Good. And my laptop is booting up, and I want to bring on, open this thing up for a clock. Kyle Rittenhouse on my wait a minute, I forgot the password. Okay. Okay. If sometimes those computer gremlins or internet gremlins All right, here's a page that popped up while we're waiting. All right, and now my goal, let me explain the accountability group that we have on, and the accountability group that we have on Clubhouse is, mobile home offers or mobile home daily offers. And the whole it's an accountability group. So, like, say, over this weekend, Saturday, I made 20 offers. Yesterday, I made 20 offers. Today, by 6 p.m., I want to make 100 offers. And here's my thinking on that. I'm looking at the law of averages. Now, I'm in Florida, and what I'm looking for or use mobile homes and or travel trailers, also known as campers. I'm trying to replicate the same thing that Lamar Alexander and Laura Nelson did. So in Florida, now Florida's got 67 counties, 67 of them. And statewide, they are, within those 67 counties, there are 5,101 mobile home parks. That's what we have here in Florida. The town that I live in has over 180, I believe, mobile home parks. So I'm looking at, because I have parameters. Okay, I've been putting in, I want to use mobile home, or as they call them, manufactured home. And over the weekend, I put my top price is $5,000, which would be a small deal. The small deals were $5,000 and below. Now I'm looking at, you know what? I'm going Walmart. I want Walmart deals. So I'm going to readjust my parameters to, I want used manufactured homes cost you no more than $2,000. And I'm making an offer. I'm looking for 100 of them. And out of 5,101 parks in this state, I'll find them. Now, I'm kind of picky on the geography of them because I'm trying to get them as close to me as possible. But there's some places, because I got Georgia that I'm close to and Alabama that I'm close to. Then I've got boots on the ground in other parts of the United States. So I'm looking at Monday through Friday, once again, 6 a.m. My goal for today is 100 offers. I've got an internet connection. I got a smartphone. I got two tablets, and I got a laptop. So I don't have to get out and rush hour traffic. I just have to search and click, search and click, search and click, submit offer, submit. And it, for 20, it took me about, I wasn't really, I got a stopwatch that I'm going to use today on how long it takes me to do 20, 25. So I'll time it today on how long it takes me to do that. But I'm lowering my parameters from 5,000 down to 2,000. I'll make offers on all of them, but I'm only looking for one to two of them that'll be real sweet transactions for me that I can close on. That's one a day. And I'm only looking to make, not of a big profit on them, $500 to $1,000. Because $500 times five, if I just do one a day, it's $2,500 for the week. $10,000 for the month without getting up and going to rush hour twice a day. If I make $1,000, that's $20,000 in the month. So once again, we got a clubhouse group set up, mobile home. Let me look it up. And we're going on the phones because we're going to talk about Kyle, what's his name? Rittenhouse in a moment. Let me get the name of the group. It's free. There's no gurus there. I'm not a guru. Okay, it's an accountability group. Nobody's there to sell you books, tapes, no course, none of that. Strictly accountability. The name of the group is Mobile Home Daily Offers. We got four offers. We got four members. I'm one of the four. Robin's one of the four. Okay. Now, my goal is 100 a day. Your goal could be one a day, or it could be one a week, or it can be one a month. Whatever you want accountability for, that's what the group is set up for. It's a free group. Nobody was selling nothing in there, including me. If you want a guru and want to pay somebody else, there's a gazillion of them people that you can find on Clubhouse or Facebook or whatever. All right, but that's at 6 o'clock today and Eastern Standard Time, or 6 o'clock in the morning. That's our morning session. Okay, the morning sessions might be 10 or 15 minutes long at best. You know, whoever shows up, what's your goal for the day? Okay, we'll see you in 12 hours to see if you accomplished that goal for the day. For me, I've got 100. That's my quota for today. Yours doesn't have to be that way. It can be one a week or one a month. But that's 6 o'clock today on Clubhouse, absolutely free. It's titled Mobile Home Daily Offers. Now, the subtitle for today on that channel is Submit, and I'll go through, again, my psychology on that, dealing with the law of averages, you know. But anyway, that's on Clubhouse, all right? Now, enough of that for today. Let's go to a trending topic, and that's Kyle Rittenhouse. In a case up in Wisconsin, and let's go to 231. 231, your mic is open.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I've been listening to you. So you go by the law of averages to determine what your success might be in what I presume is your business of closing on trailer homes. Am I correct?
That's my target here. Let me give you some background on me. I got started in real estate in 1983 by buying four-unit apartment buildings. So when I started making offers back, I was like 25 years old then. You know, I had to think about it, and by the next morning, it was gone. And that happened to me a few times. And then I found a four-unit apartment building where two of the units were boarded up. So I made an offer on that. I didn't have to sleep on it or think about it. I made an immediate offer on it, and it got accepted, but it had like 10, 12, 13, 14 backup contracts behind that. So I was able to close on that, and from that point on, I started to look for distressed properties or properties that needed some fixer-uppers, essentially.
Right.
And then, now, that was in a more expensive market, which was in Washington, D.C. at the time. So then fast forward some years later, I started to do REOs, real estate owns, which are bank foreclosures. This is before real estate agents got into them, you know, started listing stuff and all that. So I found like there were 30 cities that I can pick up like really cheap houses priced at $5,000 and below.
Okay.
But there was a healthy dose of properties listed for $1,000 and $2,000. One of those markets was Detroit. So I started making, and on those, I didn't haggle on it. If they wanted $1,000 or $2,000, I didn't haggle or nothing like that. I made the offer. It usually got accepted. If I had to get back, because I was joint venturing on some of these. If I had to join, I remember one time I waited like 1 hour, and it was gone. So I started doing those. Now, fast forward to about 6 years ago, well, maybe about 10 years ago, well, let's see, 9 or 10 years ago, I had a squatter in one of my houses in another city, and D.C. to be exact. And I said, you know what, someone told me just, you know, try something in a rural area. So then I started buying acres because it was less expensive to buy acres and I could buy more for my money. Then I got into the tiny house thing. So about, I don't think it's, well, maybe 2 months ago, I had known about trailers, mobile homes, whatever you want to call them, since I got involved in housing back in the 80s. But, you know, I was never near a mobile home. I didn't know anybody else who got into mobile homes. I probably stepped in one or two mobile homes. I met probably one mobile home guru who's now passed over, Lonnie Scruggs. I just totally, you know, ignored it. I said, you know, my niche was urban stuff.
Right.
But then I ran across some people that were doing pretty well with mobile homes, and I went back and read Lonnie Scruggs' book. And his mm-hmm. basic philosophy was the same philosophy that I had when I was buying bank REOs. Because I got spoiled to the point where anything over $2,000, I'm not touching it. I'm not negotiating.
Okay.
But there was, I knew about 30 cities, Indianapolis, Baltimore, Buffalo, New York, where Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Flint, Michigan, where Columbus, Ohio, Cincinnati, Ohio, Cleveland, Ohio. A lot of those places now you can go in and buy stuff cheap. But I also learned one of the reasons why they were so cheap and code enforcement, this, that, other. So it seemed like mobile homes were a lot better. So I said, you know what, let me try this out. So using the law of averages, because, like I say, I can use the no haggle rule.
I can't stay on the line. I can't stay on the line
okay.
too long.
Well, right now I'm getting favorable feedback back yet, but I just started it, so you know I don't have enough data yet from personal experience to share with you.
Okay. All right. I was curious because I was a marketing director, and telemarketing was my forte, and and I always found that people who were counting on the numbers game, they were lucky if they didn't go broke. There's a way of scientifically finding out whether or not the niche that you're going in is going to be profitable or not. It takes some legwork and take some math, and a lot of people don't like math. But so that's
right.
why I called in. But I got to go because
I'm
going to do something else.
Let me ask you this before you go. Now, I've been doing the law of average. This weekend I did 40, 20 on Sunday, 20 on Saturday. I've been doing it through Facebook Marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now you were doing it by telemarketing?
Yeah, which is what you're doing. Because what you're doing, you're not going in a rush hour. You've got the tablet and you've got the computer and all of that. So what you're doing everything remotely, which is the same thing as telemarketing. You're going to have to contact the people who own the property, and you're going to have to talk to them to negotiate a deal. That's telemarketing. So there are ways of cutting down on the amount of time and effort that anybody who wants to be a telemarketer or who wants to be whatever they want to call themselves, a salesman on the phone, can be more can better utilize their time. But what
right.
I'll do, I'll
well, you know what,
I
got your number off the board. I'll give you a call later today because I really appreciate your feedback.
I don't accept calls at this number. So what I'll do, I'll just download one of your past shows and take a look at the Clubhouse, find out, you know, whatever websites you've got, and go take a look. Because I get, I don't want calls from talk show hosts. No offense to you, but
okay, I got it.
That's not what my phone is for.
Okay.
So,
all right, got it. No, well, I appreciate the phone, not the feedback.
How often do you have your show? I can call back in and talk to you live.
Oh, well,
right,
we're on here at the same time Monday through Friday.
Okay, cool.
We're on at the same
right,
time
so,
Monday through
look,
Friday, and we'll be on Clubhouse same time every day, Monday through Friday.
That's Clubhouse. Was that Clubhouse.com or what?
Robin would know the Clubhouse thing. She put it up on Clubhouse.
Well, never mind. I
got to
go because I got to do something before 12. So I'll call back in another time. Okay, good luck.
All right, thanks
a lot.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and that was valuable feedback because I'm not a telemarketer. So I'm just doing this based on, you know, my personal experience. Because if a person puts out a price, an asking price, I don't like to haggle. I don't like to haggle with anybody. So if a person puts out a price, and I bought, God knows how many houses for $2,000 or less, if their asking price is $2,000, I typically Okay, I'll give you your price. Can we close in 30 days? Can we close in 45 days or something like that? You give them their price, they'll typically give you your closing date term. All right? That's how I do it. So, like I say, what I'm going at it today is I'm looking at it. I'm lowering it from $5,000 to $2,000. And I'm putting it out there 100 times because out of the 100 times, some of those are going to come back. I already know it's no longer on the market. I'm going to easily get 20 to 25% that this is no longer on the market. Then I'll get another percentage. I don't know what that is yet. That is pending. Okay, so between 50% out of that 100% is not going to be available because they sold it already or they got a pending transaction. It might close. It might not close. More than likely, it's going to close. So that leaves me. That leaves me another 50. I'm only looking for one out of that 50. I'm not going to haggle with the person. They want $1,500. They want $1,800. They'll get it. I'll write up a contract. Meanwhile, I got a group of people that I'll be selling to that are looking for, because I'm not moving, I'm not going to be renting these out. I'm not going to buy and hold these. These are strictly inventory for me to sell. I'm looking to make a bare minimum $500 to $1,000 per transaction profit. I don't need to try to make $20,000 or $150,000 that some of these gurus say they don't make. I heard this guy talking about he doesn't do anything less than $150,000. And that's all right. I sell hamburgers. Give me any McDonald's franchise or any Burger King franchise, and they make more money than the best steakhouse in town. That's where I'm at with it. I sell hamburgers. And that strategy basically is selling hamburgers. Occasionally, I'll sell a Big Mac, but I don't sell no steaks. I sell hamburgers, hot dogs, and an occasional Big Mac. One place, it's a Big Mac, fries, and a milkshake. I don't get into the steak thing. So, in any event, all right. So we got the available call in. I got his number, but he doesn't like to take calls on that number. So I respect that. And obviously, Robin, I think he was from Clubhouse. Anyway. Yeah, because I'd definitely like to pick his brain. Because, like I said,
I have someone on Clubhouse that wants to say hello.
Okay. Hello. To be in Clubhouse for, and I'm not in Clubhouse right now. Rob, you there? Okay, wait a minute. All right, somebody in Clubhouse who wants to say hello. All right, let me go over to Clubhouse real quick before we get to Kyle Rittenhouse. Okay, It's My House TV on Clubhouse.
No, you don't need to do that. You need to open my mic for the the 866 number on.
Oh. Okay. All that back free. Okay, your mic. is open.
All right, this is I'm talking on Vibes Live Radio in Clubhouse.
Okay. Good.
Can you hear me?
All right. I can hear you clear.
All right. So I'm in Clubhouse on another account of Vibes Live Radio, and I'm talking to you in Clubhouse. So
okay.
I'm demonstrating
right.
that people can come in the room on Clubhouse, and as long as you have that toll-free number, the mic open over there, they'll be able to communicate. Okay?
All right, so Vibes Live, which never sleeps. Vibes Live never sleeps. So Vibes Live is now on Clubhouse.
Yes, it is.
And I imagine that's around the clock, isn't it?
Well, it won't be around the clock. I'll be streaming all of the various programs that we have.
Okay.
From Vibes Live and Robin Lynn and all that, but I can't manage to keep them all 24 hours. That's what the radio stations are for.
Okay. Understood.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I got this dude's phone
and
number.
Hey,
you know what? I'm gonna respect his wishes.
My house TV, please get
right.
a hold of me, the producer, Robin Lynn. Don't hit up L.A. Hit up Robin Lynn.
Got it. All right. What we're going to do, we're going to cover Kyle Rittenhouse for the rest of the show. So we're going to take a quick break here and come back to Kyle Rittenhouse right after this.
We'll be right back.
trending topics for today, rest of the program. Kyle, what's his name? Kyle Rittenhouse. I do not know the latest update, so before I open up my phone lines, USA Today, let's see what's on the front page. Let's see, USA Today, I don't need to advertise, I mean, not advertise, what do you call it? What's the latest news here? Okay. All right, Kyle Rittenhouse is on the front page of an online edition of, he's not the major story, but judge in Kyle Rittenhouse case dismisses underage weapons charge, closing arguments to begin. So before I go to the phone lines, let me read a teeny bit of this. Underage weapons charge dismissed. I wish I had Warren Houston on here right now. If Warren Houston, you know, I got to look on Facebook. Underage weapons charge dismissed as closing arguments in Kyle Rittenhouse trial begin. Jury deliberations to come next. So, Kenosha, Wisconsin, the jury in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial will hear competing narratives in closing arguments Monday, that's today, after the judge dismissed a lower weapons charge Rittenhouse faced. So he threw it out. All right, Judge Bruce Schroeder on Monday dismissed a misdemeanor count Rittenhouse faced over whether he was a minor in possession of a firearm illegally. The defense argued that the charge didn't apply because of what they said is an exception in the law. The prosecution objected, but the judge sided with the defense's interpretation. Before the jury enters deliberation, lawyers from both sides will give their closing arguments in the case that began November 1st and featured 8 days of testimony from about 30 witnesses and more than a dozen videos from the night of August 25th, 2020, when then 17-year-old Rittenhouse fatally shot two men and wounded a third during a violent protest. All right, so the judge threw out a lesser weapons charge. Okay. He dismissed a misdemeanor. Okay. All right. Hold it, man. This page is bouncing around. Okay. Well, I'll track that down later. All right. 314, what say you on the Kyle Rittenhouse case or anything else?
Well, I'm going to back up a little bit. You may mention about the stake. Man, it's 11:18. What? You say you wouldn't sell steak. I tell you what, you sell a Kobe, a Wainu steak, Japanese.
Now, you're talking about the highest of the high-end steaks, Bianchi, Kobe beef.
Yeah, but why you want to mess around with them
low-end?
You know,
that does make money.
Why do you want to mess around with them low? See, here's the thing. One deal with them is worth about 12 deals with them others. That's going to be arguing, wanting to hook up, and everything else. It's nothing but headache. Then they're going to bring it back four or five times because the windshield is not washed. And the mirrors
are
there.
You just reminded me of something. I was in Walmart at the beginning of this month. No, at the end of last month. And I was getting a money order. And I mentioned, this is, it was
money
the day
order.
Before Halloween. Yeah, I had one of my creditors. They don't take anything by phone. They're old school. Either send a check or a money order. So I sent them a money order.
Why didn't you get a cashier's check? Why you messing around with the money order? They just
man, I haven't stepped into a bank. I haven't stepped into a bank in almost 3 years. I'm a phone guy.
Oh.
You know, give me PayPal, Venmo, PayPal, Apple Pay. I rather
well,
pay
you
by
know,
phone.
Yeah, well.
That's me.
You gotta get hooked.
I rather pay by
this,
phone,
this
but this one
stuff.
Creditor, he's old school. So I gotta, you know, I am stepping out of banking almost 3 years. Because I just like the convenience of doing everything by phone. But anyway, so
you
I was at Walmart
you deposit
money
your
order.
Checks by you deposit your checks
people,
electronically.
People that owe me money, rent money or whatever, Facebook it, PayPal it to me. That's how I get paid.
All right.
Yeah,
that's the
best
way to
almost 3 years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I mentioned to this lady, you know, Halloween, you know, what would be the next day, and she mentioned, and I just thought about what you said, that people, they come to Walmart, they get these Halloween costumes, and then they bring them back the next day after they wore them. So you do have a point when you're dealing
well,
with the Walmart crowd. When you're dealing with the Walmart crowd, that element does exist.
Wait a minute, you
you're
remember,
right with the Kobe Market, with the Kobe Market demographic, or the people that stay at Trump Towers demographic, those people do not do that.
Those are the best people to work with, I think. But you make the mention of that. I remember people used to take movie cameras, camcorders back. They buy the camcorder, go on vacation, take their movies and their pictures, then bring it back after they come back and get their return. So you're absolutely right. There's some idiot, ill-minded people out there.
Well, you just reminded me that, so I might have to reconsider because.
And 9 out of 10
the
of
Walmart
them, 99%
crowd
of them are Democrats. A Democrat.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right.
You gave me a good point. No, but that's a good way to go. I think it may be 12 of those beef, and they're real stringent on even the semen that's derived from those beef. I think it's put on ice. And Chinese came up with something, and it's highly in demand. Like I say,
Kobe Bryant was named after that. Kobe Bryant was named after Kobe Beef.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, that's where his parents got the name, from that cut of beef,
mm-hmm.
Kobe.
It's Kobe Bryant, it's Kobe Meat, and it's the Wayne Hu beef. And the two run pretty much parallel. And the guy that called in, I know him very well, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Joe.
I got his number, but I'm going to respect his request. I'm not going to call him. I'm just, you know, I'll pick his brain another way. But,
I tell you, next time I see him, I'll tell him to come on your show.
Sure. Yeah, I appreciate it. Now, let's get to Kyle Rittenhouse. It's Monday.
All right, let me tell you something. You see how me and Naima was going back? Now, I want to ask you a question. Why do black folks do that? You got blacks that go back and forth with a black person that don't agree with them.
We're both conservative. Now, you're more conservative than me, but we're both conservative. We've both been called all kind of names.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, hang on for a second. Let me finish explaining. Okay. See, they go back and forth because they don't have that type of exchange with their audience, which tells you that the audience eventually must all be getting their information, education, intelligence from the same sources.
Mm-hmm.
And when you really look at it, that's what it is. Because I remember, you know, years ago, you used to have these lecture circuits, and you have these same individuals that would be doing these lectures. And especially in New York, I was talking to a gentleman the other day, Brother Aziz, who had several strokes, by the way, and he would videotape those lectures. Matter of fact, him and Clemson Brown have the largest collection of videotapes by some people like John Henry Clark, for instance. And they hear this, these things. Now, at the time, with the technology and the information and the science, that's what all they had to go by. But they have developed in search of in sort of a mental state that they hate. They use white supremacy as a rallying cry, pointed out as the cause of everything practically when it's not. And then if a black person who come along and say, well, you know what, I ain't never experienced that, they attack them. Well, you need, if you didn't experience it, you need to fall in line.
Yeah, they did that to Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
They did that to Lil Wayne. They attacked Steve Harvey.
Absolutely. And then they get these followers because these followers, for whatever reason in their life, have not had successes, but they had access to successes and it didn't work out. Now they pissed off because they believe there is one source that has caused their failures, which is not true. And when you point it out and show examples of others, they get pissed off at you.
Yeah, a lot of them.
But you know, you said that the, for instance, they're asking the question, what was the man doing there? Let me ask you something. You're talking about purchasing mobile homes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're going to probably have more than one location, right?
Yep.
How many of you is there? It's just
one
you.
Of me. Right.
Now, it was, and when in Kenosha, Kyle's friend, it was two of them, and they had three locations, of which one had got burnt up completely. Can you come imagine coming up to a car lot and you got 25 or 30 cars on the lot, every last one of them is burnt up? I'm talking about burnt up. All the interior and everything is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they needed help in order to protect the other two. So guess what? Their friends came out and said, we'll help you. And it just so happened that one of the owners was like a mentor to Mr. Rittenhouse.
Okay.
Taught him, and in particular, they taught him how to shoot on the gun ranges. He bought them their gun. He didn't give it to them. He bought it. And when they went out, I think he kept it at that one location that car was at. Now, this is what I was came to understand. And another thing, the reason why the judge threw it out is because of Wisconsin's law. Technically, the gun is longer than 16 inches as it was manufactured. And that's what the law. If it had been less than that, then it would have been classified as something else. Another thing, people have said, what is he doing there? He shouldn't have been going there, and all this stuff. Well, he had a right to be there. He worked there. He went to the one place and helped the man remove graffiti that was written all over this place, just like you see the graffiti written on statues, especially Columbus statues in St. Louis, where BLM put their initials all on the statues, and other places. And the curfew violation had been lifted. The curfew violation, I don't know why they lifted the curfew violation, so I understand, because the rioting and stuff was still going on. Another thing, the prosecutor is treacherous. He wanted Kyle's address to be made public, encouraging violence.
That's suicide, yeah. That's not right.
Just like Maxine Waters was telling people to create violence to Trump supporters and those that wore MAGA hats. The man with the gun who Kyle shot, Dubinsky, discharged his weapon into the air while he was following Kyle. Why is he doing that? That's against the law. His wife is in prison now for, guess what, retail theft. And Dubinsky was also seen setting fires. As I said before, Kyle's rifle was not a short barrel, less than 16 inches. We recognized that the car deal had three places with only two owners, him and a partner, in the first location, already burnt down. So he wanted to save his. Let me ask you something. When you have your trailer home, you going to have insurance to cover all of them? And will the insurance cover all
I'm
your entire investment?
Bianchi, I'm all I'm doing is I'm connecting the seller with a buyer, an end user. I'm not buying and holding things.
All right. Well, you got to have some kind of insurance in order to protect your association between the two. Because if something go wrong on the far end, guess what? They're going to come to you in the middle. You better check into that.
I will check in that because when I was doing it with houses, I usually bought them as is and sold them as is. But you're right, I need to check with an insurance agent because there's probably something out there that I don't know about. And
absolutely,
I don't
know because you can get caught up like that because you're supposed to do – when you buy a house, you're supposed to do some research on that, have a title company do some research on it. My daughter had a piece of property that her and the adjacent owner done an equal swap in land. In other words, she didn't gain none. It was 2,167 feet, or maybe 267 feet, square feet, that they exchanged. It was all registered with the county. I don't know what it was. They just, you know, rather than take up something, the owner, they just done a survey and pulled a line that created a triangle on either side of this issue, and they just swapped it. He said, "You got since you already got this, just give me that same amount down on the far end," which they did. It was recorded.
Okay.
Everything was cool with the assessor. Then when another company came and got involved, they put a lien on it, which they shouldn't have done because what they were supposed to have done was done the research themselves. Now,
right.
One of the owners, that owner, him and his wife got killed and left it to the estate to the son. Now, he's got to get things straightened out. And then they find this thing sitting there. So that those things can happen. CBS printing Kyle a murder and trial still on. That's racist. And people say that you can't protect property in using deadly force. Well, let me ask you something, L.A. Did not the Koreans in the L.A. riots protect their property using deadly force?
They did. And I'm thinking of a case, I think I covered that. It was a girl that came in.
A girl came in.
They did.
And the Korean lady was wrong because she tried to accuse the black girl of a, she just used girl, person. I don't like to put adjectives on the way you see the news.
Well, she was a... like a teenager, if that?
Yeah, she was. And the Korean woman slapped her.
Yeah, I saw the video.
And, yeah, you seen the video. The text, and then you want to talk about the people that gets away with things. Look at the Texas high school shooter, Timothy Simpkins. He premeditated, went to his car and got a gun, came back and shot not only the student he was fighting with, but others who was innocent, just standing there. Now, people say that Carl Rittenhouse's mother bought the gun, which is not true. But how did Timothy Simpson get the gun he had? He's 18 years old.
No.
Should his parents be held accountable? People say that the young man was a racist with the Proud Boy. You know what the Proud Boy membership?
Yeah. I don't think
you know
Rittenhouse was racist. I don't think
well, I'm just telling you what people
I wouldn't put him as racist. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying what people argue.
Oh, you are, yeah, what people say.
Being associated with the Proud Boys, well, how would they be racist? Because they have black and Latino and Asian members.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a whole new dynamic. Even in St. Louis and Ferguson, you had the Promise Keepers, who was a white group by large, and they had black members. And they showed up there on West Florissant Avenue, right down from the McDonald's, across the street from the Quick Trip that they burned down. And they was protecting that business, the meat business, meat house business, and some other businesses along the road. Down further on the other side of Airport Road, by the Conoco station, you had Proud Oath Keepers protecting that building, black and whites, with the automatic, with the rifles.
Well,
so people throw, and that was that was the same place that the same place that Naima showed up, saying that she was the press.
Yeah.
Well, I think that when you go to Ferguson, you got to report in if you're, you know, you there covering something like that. But I'm not sure. I know Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton came down there, and they ran. Yeah, you have to check out those credentials because you can get online and print you out a press badge.
Yeah, Robin knows all about how to get those credentials. Robin, if you're there, you can comment on. Hold, let me open up my mic. Oh, that's my mic. Let me see if she's still around. Her, she's somewhere.
Now, you know, on the trial, you think I see two dynamics going there.
Mm-hmm.
One is still a further attack on the Second Amendment. Now they're trying to say that you can't use self-defense as a legitimate argument in cases where you have to use deadly force. Well, using self-defense is a natural response to danger.
I agree.
When you present it to it, that's something that you was born with.
Mm-hmm.
But you got those anti-Second Amendment people that in the United States who constantly try to chip and chip and chip down, like Sheila Jackson Lee and the law that she's putting forth, trying to put a bill forth that's so ridiculous that even if you have an antique gun in your house, she want to control how you go about displaying it. None of her business. And, you know, here's the point, too. The funny thing with these politicians, especially these black politicians, the problems that they have in their constituent domain needs to be addressed, but they want to have the same applications across the whole nation at a federal level. Well, the problem she has there in the 4th Ward near Houston, I believe it's the 4th or 5th, I'm not having in my community, so why you want to restrict me of how I display guns in my house where I am? That needs to be done in your district.
Right.
Apparently something wrong with your people. You agree?
Yeah. Well, they've got the National Guard up in Kenosha just in case something breaks out.
They should have the National Guard, and they should do what they need to do if these idiots go out there and start. They should have had them a long time ago, last year and the year before when they was doing all their riding, burning up stuff. And it actually hurts poor folks. It ain't hurting the rich or the people that's well off or people who fled those areas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
so with your business, you know, I think I answered all the points on that.
Right.
And,
well, I
got
to ask, Ryan, for that the for parking for the Jasper
on your
now.
On that property you got?
Yeah, just yeah, I'm a section off just a small portion for parking.
Mm-hmm.
just right now until I get some more capital. And then I'm doing this mobile home thing basically to accumulate some capital. So all you're doing is
connecting a buyer with a seller.
Exactly. That's all I'm doing.
And that other lady you talked to, she was rehabbing them and reselling them, buying and rehab and reselling.
Yeah, I've had Kelly on here. Her and her brother, I met up in Vermont at a tiny house thing about 5 years ago. Her and her brother, they rehab and they buy, rehab, and sell. They buy, rehab, and hold. And then they connect the buyers with sellers, too. So I think she did about $900,000 last year.
Yeah.
But the crazy thing is, when I met her, she was dead set against mobile homes. I don't even know. I forgot how we got into the conversation on it because we were at a tiny house, the build camp, over a long weekend. But then, here she is, and she's doing pretty. Her and her brother doing pretty well. They live in Texas, so I guess they do their a lot of their buying and holding and rehabbing there. But then through the internet,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can do it almost anywhere now. And then she's a traveling nurse, so she spends part of her time out in California working, and then comes back.
Mm-hmm.
With her official residence in Texas.
What's the difference in liability for a personal property holding of a mobile home and a real and a stationary residence?
And piece of real estate, I'd have to find that out. I do not know. Here's what I know, is that the mobile home is unless it's on a concrete foundation, is considered personal property. The moment you put it on a permanent foundation, it is recognized and taxed as real estate. So, you still got to pay ground rent or lot rent.
You got to pay lot rent. You got to pay the personal
property.
You got to
pay lot rent.
Which is like
right.
Well,
even if it's on private property, you own the private property. So-called on the private property, you still got to pay
mm-hmm.
the yearly taxes. So,
and you got to pay.
It's not a completely scot-free proposition.
Yeah, personal property taxes is like the tax you pay every year before you can get your license tag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As Sister Bay says, one way or another, they'll get you.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's right about that.
And how do those mobile homes hold their value?
Oh, no. Just like a car. They go down in value.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. There's nothing like they go down in value. But people that get into those things know that. Now, there are some high-priced mobile homes, or actually the correct name these days is supposed to be manufactured homes. There's some high-priced manufactured homes in places like Malibu in California on the beach where, you know, you might pay $400,000 for the structure.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what makes them worth the $400,000, I don't know. But for the average person, no, they drop in value. They're not real estate. But the people that get into them, all they know is they own it outright. They don't have to pay property taxes and that type of thing. So, because I'm looking at property taxes, ground rent.
What about them tiny homes?
Whatever you call it.
What would they be
huh?
classified as? What would a tiny home be classified as?
Same thing. A tiny house that is not permanently attached to the ground. It's personal property.
But they would have to be permanently attached to a slab because they got plumbing, they have utility hookups.
Well, the one that Viola had.
If you got a two-story.
She had She had a shower. She had utility hookups and all that.
If you got a two-story home like we was talking about the other day, last week or so, you got to attach that to the slab because that thing will blow off, blow away. You end up one morning being in Chicago someplace.
Yeah, well, now the one Viata just recently sold it. She had a tiny house that she had for 5 or 6 years. She lived in it for about maybe 5 years. 4 or 5 years.
Where was it located? How was it
a bathroom in it. It had a bathroom in it, and it was in a, I guess you can call it a park. It had about 11 or 12 homes in it. Most of them were mobile homes. I think she only had the so-called by design tiny house, and it had hookups there where her toilet, her face bowl, and her shower worked like in any home. And she had her tiny house on wheels. And then when she moved out of there.
Now, was it on a trailer that was pulled by a pickup truck or a fifth wheel?
It was on a chassis, and you can pull it by car or pickup truck. So she moved it to a RV park and while she had it on the market. And now she's working on another tiny house project with one of her relatives. So she sold one and then developing another one. But the one that she's developing will probably be classified as an accessory dwelling unit because the building that is already on there is permanently attached to the land and is included in the tax assessment. So...
Well, I guess
one personal property, one real estate.
Yeah, I guess people get to a position where they're concerned about that. You know, when I built the house myself and designed it, the county wanted to tax it for more than I thought that they should be taxing it, given where it was.
But now
they do
give
those
you
right.
a chance to protest that, though, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And guess who don't show up at the protest?
Well, if you don't show up, you know you got to pay that bill.
That's what I'm saying. But guess who don't show up at the protests? At the the Equalization Board.
Right, right.
And they don't show up to the protest. Apparently they don't know how to go about it. All information is there. So they just get taxed and taxed and taxed and taxed over and over and over
again.
Oh,
exactly. You're right. You're right. That's what happens.
So, yes.
You don't go to those meetings. Yeah.
For those who like, that's what they want to do, that's perfectly fine. It's just a whole new way. Kind of like those old... Those stainless steel mobile homes, what they call jet streams or something like that,
that
we used to see back in the day.
Yeah, airstreams,
Airstreams. Well, look, L.A., I'm going to let you get off your show. I've been on for 12 minutes.
Said
what I said, letting you go.
All right. Have a good day. On that, people, we'll see you guys later today. Those who are going to Clubhouse.